And we're ready to go. We are live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Join us there if you can. You can watch from anywhere in the world. We'd like to have you join us on those two platforms. Let's start with the Punch, page 7 this morning. Lagos increases isolation facilities, plans for spike.
Yes, it's a bit refreshing, you know, to know that, you know, this is happening. Well, it wouldn't really surprise us because, to be fair, the Lagos State Government did take, you know, this issue of the of COVID-19. They took it head on from the onset. But what this does is that it raises a warning again, and I will never tire of saying to people who still don't believe that there is COVID, that 80%, the 80% of the responsibility to make sure that you do not contract this dreaded disease lies in your hands. It's not in whether it is your portion or not. It's not in whether because you and Matunji next door were fighting over who is going to sweep the compound and therefore she inflicted. It's not anything like that. Especially for those of you who have underlying, underlying conditions, who have things that COVID can trigger. You're talking of high blood pressure, diabetes. Those of you, for example, who have asthma. Anybody who has asthma and who is an asthma patient and hasn't taken this vaccination will only have himself to blame. If you don't believe, go watch the videos on YouTube and see what happens to those who contract this dreaded disease. So we're happy that the government on the one hand has done this, but we call on them also to make sure that they enforce the laws governing our state as regards this COVID, making sure that people wear masks in public, no crowds. We have to go back to where we were. We have to go. If you have a social function to attend, you better be careful. People always put it in their invitations. All COVID protocols will be followed. But no. Once the jollof rice and chicken is inside like this, everybody just goes haywire. Once the musician strings one guitar, that's it. You find it. And all of us are complicit in this. Mm-hmm. Even those who should be setting the examples. But do not, I repeat, do not put your life at risk, for God's sake. Don't put your life at risk. If you can, go get yourself vaccinated. Don't listen to any funny story that tells you about, the whole world cannot be wrong. Everybody is moving in the right direction. You are moving to the left direction. There's something wrong. The whole world cannot be conspiring against itself. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the message this morning, for God's sake, Lagosians, all of us, let us take this issue very, very seriously. Okay, and our good Professor Akin Abayomi, who is the Commissioner for Health, says that the state has reactivated one more COVID-19 isolation facility in anticipation of the spike. So we can see it coming, and the isolation facilities at Yaba and Gbagada were the only functional ones, but one more has been added. Okay, and he says right now we have about 50% occupancy in our isolation facilities, which is frightening. Okay, and we have just reactivated one more isolation center that we earlier decommissioned. It is near the airport. We call it Indo Isolation Center, just to create a little bit more space
for those people running away.
For those who run away, that they grab them, put them there.
Just grab them.
Professor Bami added that a variety of COVID-19 variants. Of COVID-19 variants were circulating in Lagos, saying the state receives about 75% of international travelers coming into the country. Let me quote him. Our analysis in Lagos suggests that we have a large number of international COVID-19 variants circulating in our environment. We're doing a lot of work to be able to characterize them and understand how each variant differs from the other. But I hear that the dreaded one, it's the Delta variant.
The Delta variant.
Because that one, apparently, it triggers stooling. I think we talked a bit about
that.
It's
very quick.
Very quick. It can knock you out 2 hours, you're gone. And it says that the current wave is a combination of the old virus versus the new virus that have come into the country through international travelers, which is why we are being very strict and so on and so forth. If you now tie this with the doctor's strike that we have,
yep.
How do you say Odowa you now? It is now in your hands, yeah. Really. It is in your hands. It's up to you. It's in your hands and in the hands of God. Please try and stay safe for yourself, for your neighbors, for your children, for your parents. Try and stay safe.
Right.
That is the end of the episode for this morning. And we will never tire, you know, of stressing it all the time.
Yeah, it's quite important, really. It's quite important. We're going to stay with the Punch newspaper, page 8 this time. My photo with Tinubu dispels rumor about his health. Sanwo-Olu.
I don't know how this thing fired itself into the media again today. I thought that the photographs put out yesterday. No,
honestly, it's actually still in the media. Most papers have the story.
They have this all the papers I read have this story. And I wonder why those who are promoting this are so persistent. I keep saying Nigerians are not idiots, we are not fools. Mm. We understand. What Sanwo-Olu's visit has shown is that there actually was a problem with this gentleman, which is okay, he's only human. Mm-hmm. It's not as if he was in jail or anything. A health matter, everybody has it at his age. You know?
It should be expected.
60.
I really don't know.
You don't know his age. Okay, fine. Okay, don't know his age.
I don't know
But whatever it is, he's elderly.
Yeah, whatever
everybody,
it is.
Everybody pops a pill in the morning. There's always a health challenge. I don't know what the whole fuss is about. And guess what? If you wanted to even dispel this rumor about his being sick and so on and so forth, instead of Governor Sanwo-Olu going, wouldn't it have been better? Because all this was arranged. Mm. Nobody is fooled about all this. All this is an arranged PR exercise. Wouldn't it have been better to have used somebody who is completely independent?
Mm.
Who is not even a journalist, a top renowned journalist, for example. Put two of them on a plane to go have dinner with him.
Mm.
You know, you don't even be thinking there's a private jet to take them and bring them back. Mm. I mean, so this PR exercise is flat on the ground completely. What we are all happy about
yep.
is that because we wish him well. Whether we support him in his bid for presidency is another thing entirely.
Mm.
But you cannot discount the contributions that this man has made in Lagos, both for good and for bad. It's for you to put it in a balance.
There must be a reason why people are making a big deal out of it.
Well, it's the same old Nigerian thing to show that the man is healthy, he can take on the next challenge. Okay, to show that he's healthy, he can take on the next challenge. I don't believe, from what I've seen of him lately,
yeah.
that he has that physical capacity to take on that challenge. But it's left to him. It is left to him. I've told those who are close to him that are, that I know and I interact with is, let this gentleman please retire. For his own sake, primarily. You see, all this demonstration of whether he's well enough and what, nobody is fooled by all this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Nigerians are in any good mood right now. To what we've seen, the current president we have keeps rushing to London and back and rushing. Okay, this man had a health challenge, he too had to go abroad. You understand? Nigerians would rather focus on somebody who can produce the goods and is probably healthy enough to do it. Now, this is not to run down those who have health challenges.
Let me quickly, I have a health challenge,
so I know my limits. We must do this.
Mm.
Also, the attitude we have for those in power, you run your system 24 hours, very little sleep, and everybody gets hyped up about that. Ah, Excellency, very hardworking. He went to bed at 2 o'clock yesterday and woke up at 6 o'clock. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. I remember way back then when judges would retire, and within 2 years, we found an obituary because of this writing in longhand and so on and so forth until Lagos said, in his own infinite wisdom and thankfully, found a way to make their jobs less strenuous. For God's sake, everybody, we are human beings. We must insist. Those who lead us, go on leave. It's a mark of a disciplined man for you to say, I shut down at 6:37. I'm going to spend time with my family and have a good night's sleep.
Right, right.
So this attitude towards health, if a man is not healthy enough, it's not a stigma. I can't do an 8-to-5 job anymore. Sorry, I can't. I don't have the physical strength to do it. And I admit it. So this idea of trying to sell, all this PR exercise of trying to sell, he's healthy enough. He is not. He is visible. Nobody is full. By my own estimation, I'm not a doctor, but by my own destination, looking at him, I know that he might have challenges in prosecuting this job. The leader we need, you know, going forward is a virile leader.
Right.
You know, who has both the physical and mental capacity to do this job and also has the time to think. We don't want somebody who is too busy, has his fingers in too many pies. We don't want an octopus. But yeah, we'll see octopus. How it goes.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, octopus means too many hands.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're happy that the man is you know, he's alive.
Right.
Those who are urging him home are urging him on. This man deserves a retirement at some point in his life.
Mm.
And if you are not taking it close to 70 or 70 plus, your guess is as good as mine.
So A listener on YouTube says the signs are there already. Nigerians, we cannot afford another president with medical team in London. That's his email. That's his message here. His name is App Email.
It's not an abuse. I'm not. I don't have any. It's not that somebody will come up and say I don't hate the man. If I hated him, I'm watching. You know, I say go on. But for those who are close to him, who know the truth, they're doing the man a disservice. And I keep saying that I'm going to be the man's best friend at the end of it all. They keep urging him on. They can't lock him up in a room and tell him that, sir, you've contributed so much. You've made so many people. Politically, you've been a success. This is the time to quit.
Right. Let's go to this editorial page on page 16 of The Punch. Media accreditation for Kano's trial. Wrong. It's an editorial, Punch editorial.
I agree completely. I agree completely. Look, I will make bold to say that this government generally, I must say, and it's sad, but the truth must be told, is not handling media issues, you know, in the proper manner. I am a sitting example. I've been doing this job 7 to 7:30, analyzing news for close to 7 to 8 years. I have only attended one briefing, which turned out to look like a press conference. I have had absolutely very little interaction. In fact, the little interaction I've had with government media personnel has been on my own insistence to want to inquire about things. That is not the way these things are done. You cannot make the media or make it look as if the media is your enemy. The government and the media must work together for us to have a better society. But what we continue to have, directives, punishment, you know, and in this case, you're having a trial of Nnamdi Kanu, and then you let's read what it is. You want to accredit the media to cover this trial. You put Daily Independent, Premium Times, Nation, News Agency of Nigeria, NTA channels, and TVC. For crying out loud, these are not the major news. You know, so what you do inadvertently is maybe quote and unquote those who are friendly to you. That is not the way media relations are run. Soldier come, soldier go. These government officials will leave one day, the media will still be there. And at the end of the day, it is this media that was responsible for bringing you to government in the first instance. You found them useful then. I'm going to urge those in authority, you know, you have to work hand in hand with
them. Who advised them to take this step? On what grounds? What could be the reason behind it?
I know. I have a fair idea.
If even the court understands the fact that it's a public trial, so why restrict people?
People. Well, at accreditation, really, let me first of all clear the issue of accreditation. Why you should accredit at all, if any. You accredit so that you can make a place available for them to, you know, carry out their functions well. So you don't have members of the public or other, you know, non-interested, whatever, moving in that area. And it should end there. It should end there. When justice is being dispensed, it should be seen. You know, not just that justice should not prevail. It should be seen to prevail. And how do you do that without having independent media? And of course, the Punch says here, they call it a threat to liberty, was influenced by the government itself, although it never owned up to such inanity. But it had all over it the full imprimatur of a regime that has not hidden its characteristic bellicosity and hostility towards the free press and the media profession. I agree with them. This government appears to be hostile towards the media. We shouldn't run away from that. I'm using the word appears to be. You know, I'm not accusing anybody. Not pointing any gun, but appears to be hostile to the media. And the government also shows a lack of understanding of the importance of the media and how the media operates.
Mm.
A time has to come when we have to sit down and agree on how we want to run our country vis-a-vis the media. But the media itself has the biggest task of all, and that is to put themselves in a position of respect and self-censorship. Okay, so it's a double-sided thingy, actually. It's double-sided. So the point says, talks about, you know, and unfortunately, this part of the editorial is personalized towards Buhari and his actions in the past when he was a military leader. You remember the days of Decree 4. But let's lose sight of what we are talking about here. The point says that justice delivery starts with the incorrigibility of the judiciary, who should be more interested in opening the democratic space for multi-stakeholder interface towards creating an open society. It is right, therefore, that an open trial, which should not be arbitrarily restricted to a few perhaps friendly media outlets, is an essential element of an open society that every democracy aspires to. Indeed, it is absurd for a court to be restricting freedoms in a democracy, as the FHC Abuja did in this matter. We don't have the time to go through this in full, but it's an editorial that I think most people should try and read. Imagine what this country would be like if we didn't have the media. I also want you to look at the role that the media had played in the past that has gotten us to the, you know. Unfortunately, the media has a bigger threat than the government, and that's the social media. But that's a story for another day. One day we'll look at that issue.
Right.
Next one.
Let's go to the Vanguard, page 8 of the Vanguard newspaper. Why we stopped negotiations with bandits. Federal government speaking.
I think way back when I was in university, I had always known that you don't negotiate with bandits. In the days of, what's his name? There was this movie, Entebbe Raid. In those days, we used to watch movies like that. We already knew that you don't negotiate with bandits. Because what does it do? It encourages them. Look at the current crisis we have started from the Niger Delta.
Right.
You know, when instead of holding some people to question, we said, okay, general amnesty. And see where it has landed us now, repeatedly. So the government finally have said that they will not, because in any case, the whole thing now became a racket.
Hmm.
Apparently, it appeared as if some of the funds that were, you know, paid to the bandits, of course, was finding its way back into the hands of government personnel. So probably there was some feeling that, oh, these things were propelled as a money-making venture, mm-hmm. even from within government.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that they are not doing this anymore.
The question is, what options do they have?
I was just going to say that you I'm going to sue you for copyright. You did something. You took something from my brain. I shouldn't be sitting next to you.
I'm sorry.
Next time, let's change positions. Because I was just going to say that. No, don't say sorry. The damage has been done.
Okay.
I will not forgive you for that. Yes. Also, you don't have what it takes to come. You say you don't serve people alcohol.
Are we going to go back then?
Since yesterday, I've been thinking. Anyway, jokes apart, sometimes you find that the government's back is against the wall. Like in the case of the school children, if you don't pay the ransom, really, how do you rescue them without collateral damage?
Mm-hmm.
But you must have that very rigid policy from the onset, you know, and that you will not pay. And there could be exceptions to the rule. We would jolly well understand. You don't want to rescue 100 children with 50 of them being dead in the attempt.
Mm.
We have a security system that cannot be discussed in even 365 days, because the foundation has been weak from the onset. Bad training, bad attitude, you know, not looking after our security people, you know, making them comfortable. And so look at the plight of the policemen. I don't know what it's like with the other services, but look at the plight of the policemen and so on and so forth. So it has led to bad training, man-no-man recruitment, which of course has led to some incompetent hands. But let me quickly add, if you, within this whatever, even within the police, you will meet some people that will marvel you at their intelligence, their loyalty, but that's a story for another day. We'll get to that. But we've had a problem that only a complete overhaul will save us. And for politicians to have a resolve not to make life difficult for these various services, because it's the infiltration of the politicians that has turned the whole thing haywire. But that's a whole story. So let's drift from that. The government has said that they will not negotiate with bandits. We hope they stick to that. And this was the Minister of State for Education, Chukwu Emeka Nwajuba. He disclosed this yesterday while fielding journalists, questions from journalists after the Federal Executive Council meeting.
Okay, so let's take this editorial from the Vanguard, page 18. Who will fix our health system?
This is relevant now. This is relevant now. Our leaders fly abroad at the slightest cough, slightest headache. Our doctors are on strike here. Today is day four. Day four. We seem to have been bound to the Philistines. So who is going to fix this health sector? And it is crucial. Because what you do now have is you have so many fakes in the system. Unqualified nurses, treating people, traditional, going to set your bones in some traditional setting, when sometimes it's not the bone, it's the nerve, and things like that. So our people are dying in droves. Our people are falling sick in droves. Our people are suffering in droves. Who is going to fix all this? The Vanguard writes this, fantastic editorial. Listen to the second paragraph. It will set you thinking. It says, President Muhammadu Buhari has not shown any interest in fixing our health system. After 6 years in office, he has continued to fly to foreign countries for medical treatments. Even right now, as the 16,000-strong members of the National Association of Resident Doctors once again abandon their duty posts over poor condition of service, the president is in London for a two-week medical vacation. Maybe the president doesn't mean it to be this, but that is the perception of the people. I refuse to believe that the man will be so inhuman that he won't care. But he should tell us, are his hands tied? If his hands are tied, who is tying them? Who is tying them? I don't think a president would be that wicked to be insensitive to the plight of the people while his own health is being taken care of. But it should explain to us what exactly is going on. Okay? The Vanguard argues again, further down, says that some state governments have failed to pay salaries and entitlements of medical doctors in their employ for months on end, including Abia. Is it not this Abia that the governor has a Rolls Royce? Let's leave that one. Abia, Ondo, Ekiti, Kogi, Imo, Anambra, and Edo State. Indeed, the hunger virus is real among our public sector medical professionals. But look at what your members of your National Assembly take home. Members of your State Assembly take home. And like Wole Soyinka says, you sit back and allow this impunity to continue. Wole Soyinka says you have failed to hit the streets. I don't believe hitting the streets is the only way.
That's our next story.
Peacefully.
It's our next story. Our docility responsible for thriving impunity in Nigeria, Soyinka.
Yes. You know, I don't believe when it comes to this. Go find time to read the
Vanguard editorial.
But now we got Wole Soyinka was speaking yesterday at the 24th edition of the Wole Soyinka lecture organized by the National Association of Sea Dogs, the Pirates Confraternity, held via Zoom. And the theme was National Conference Against Impunity. There's so much impunity, but not just government impunity, individual impunity, collective impunity, religious impunity. And we all sit back. We don't ask questions. Somebody comes in a bus and says, 5 o'clock in the morning, comes in the bus of 50 people and says, let's all bow our heads down in prayer. You just find Nigerians going like that. They don't even ask a question, who is this man? You must learn to stand up. You must learn to protest peacefully, because two wrongs don't make a right. And you must learn to get involved in deep thinking, to say that, you see, what works for A might not work for B. Hitting the streets doesn't work anymore in a country like Nigeria. It doesn't work anymore. That kind of protest doesn't work anymore. What it actually does is that it opens the doors for all kinds of rascals to take over whatever it is and wreak havoc on society. So we must sit back and mark out strategies that, okay, what are the things that will work, that will make us kick against impunity? What are the things we can do without being violent? Without even rhetoric? You know? How you can begin to make life uncomfortable for those who make life uncomfortable for you But we lap at everything. You want to take selfies, you want to go begging in the morning. Poverty has wrecked us and turned our heads 360 degrees. Mm.
We must go now, Jimmy.
We must go.
Yes, we must go now.
Just enjoy myself. Mm.
We must go now. What's coming out at 9 on Daily Digest?
Escaping poverty. You know, Helen Amore is... there are loads of motivational speakers out there. Mm. Most of them are what I call textbook motivational speakers. Well, Helen Amore is somebody I've interacted with. She's a rugged... You know, she's a rugged street fighter when it comes to getting out of poverty.
Right.
And I want her to bring her experience to bear.
Okay.
For our people and especially our youth.
All right. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jimmy, for coming.
God bless you.
Many thanks to you for listening. Let's take a break. When we return, it'll be time for the news, and then we'll talk children living with cancer. Morning to you.
You know that feeling when you keep downloading and streaming interesting videos, but...
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.